Talking Tesla.
I'm not sure if like my foot should be on the brake or the accelerator.
Because they put rings on Elon.
It must be some sort of geometrical algorithm.
I don't think you need to touch the steering wheel there, Tom.
Oh, I'm sure there's some math. So SpaceX, here's the deal. Landing a rocket on a drone ship is key.
Charger.
How am I expected to drive a car without autopilot? Safely.
Charger. You know, I'm not a good Parker, Tom.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to admit it. Yeah. I just think that this is a car company that is run by super geeks. All the other cars are going to be stupid cars compared to this car.
You don't even have to remember that. You've got a Model X. I have seen the future, and it is light pole charging.
No, I wouldn't call it a screw-up. Do you like your Model X?
God, it's beautiful. Hey! Whoa!
What?
Hey! Pete.
What?
Yeah.
We do that every time. Apparently just got here from prep school.
Oh yes. Yeah. Showing a little of that privilege that is Blanco.
Yaley.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the show is Talking Tesla. It's 1:43. It's a main show. It's for all of the people. You know that
what?
We do a main show with all of the people.
That's this one. Uh huh.
And then we do another one.
Can you believe this?
We do another one later in the month. We put it for the patrons. So if you want the whole stuff, the juice that is fantastic and large, become a patron.
Mm-hmm.
And
kind of like a fillet.
I'd like to say those shows are amazing and these shows are average, but really they're all average.
They're all average. And then I do a couple of tweeners. And can I drop something on you? And it'll just be a raw reaction to see.
A raw reaction?
This is actually I'm about to drop a big deal on
you.
And I don't know how it's going to go down.
Henceforth?
I am seriously thinking.
Uh-oh.
Because I need to develop some other stuff for some other stuff that I'm doing. I am seriously thinking of making a daily show.
Of what?
Tesla. 5 to 10 minutes a day.
First we were doing it every week.
Can
first,
we go?
First we were doing it every week.
We're so superfluous to this process.
Then we blew up and had to take
so
6 months off.
He makes this huge announcement about a daily show. Did you miss the email?
Yeah, I didn't. I wanted to do it live just to see this kind of reaction. Like this show is still going to be there. It's going to be huge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I need to see if it's possible to do a daily show for other show reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, why don't I just try a daily Tesla show?
Because
it could link in with this. And then just like after 3 weeks go, this is completely unsustainable. And then you just stop.
Why don't you do it for the other thing instead of this thing?
Because this one is so much stuff every day.
Oh.
Mm.
But then it's not really a proof of concept.
You're f***ing out of your mind.
You can't swear.
I have one thing to say to you about that. Narcissist much?
I like the raw reaction that you get on the show.
I mean, I think it's an excellent and amazing idea. I would love to be part of it, but that's going to require a very sizable investment on your part.
Nobody can be part of it. It's insane. It's obviously not possible, but I'm listening to this other Tesla podcast that's daily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, how do you do that? Is that possible?
The road will be littered with Tesla podcasts that used to be daily that aren't.
I'm just saying.
I'm excited to see what you do for 3 weeks.
No,
I think it's sustainable for a week or two, but I might just try it out.
For a week or two.
Yeah, well, depending on schedule.
Would it be a video show, an audio show?
No, it would have to be pure audio.
Pure. Mm.
Pure audio.
That's just fine.
I'm excited. I think you should do it. Actually, you should do it on your walks. So it'll be like a sustainable energy walk with Mel.
They're so loud. I can never even understand.
What I'm thinking about.
Yeah, see? Me and you, we're like mentally simpatico.
We're like mint.
Which is very scary.
I think you guys are.
There's only two
seriously
major narcissists in the room, and we're both of them.
I like my narcissism.
Are you talking 7 days a week?
No. I'm not completely mental.
5 days a week.
5 days a week.
5 days a week. 15 minutes a day.
No. 5 to 10.
5 to 10 minutes a day.
Wow.
5 days a week.
Yeah.
52 weeks a year.
No, you got to take weekends off. You got to take nights. You got to take Christmas, Hanukkah.
Okay.
Things off.
Well, I mean, I'm...
Festivus.
I'm certainly very excited for this to happen. And I would recommend doing it on the tubes that are you because that's where the people are.
Then it's video. Nobody wants to see this.
They do. Well, that's
they don't have to see this at all. Accurate. They can just see the pictures of whatever you're talking about.
If you're talking
about. But then you got to, it's so much higher.
I know. It's more complicated,
look,
but that's where the people are.
New show production here. We're working on a new show.
I think this is a good Talking Tesla Twitter poll. Is Mel insane or is Mel not insane?
I mean, we all know what the numbers are going
to
look like.
We have to change the question.
The wording has to be a little bit
different.
So
for this proof of concept, for this other thing that I'm working on, I could try it.
Today is the day. Today is the day. The Q4 earnings call day was
today. Oh, is that why we're here? We're not here to talk about my narcissism?
No, we're going
to
move on. I'm excited for you, Mel. You know what? You are a visionary. No one has ever thought about doing a daily Tesla show. It's genius.
Nobody accepts
the six that already exist.
I mean, I don't know where these ideas come to you. There's this level. This is where me and Robert are. We're like on this level. Mm-hmm. And then it's next level.
Well, other thing I'm thinking about, somebody should create a car that has a battery that you can charge instead of using gasoline.
Wow. That's
just the thing.
That's a really good idea.
Hey, before we talk about the earnings call and stuff, what is this thing?
It's kind of covered up now by this magnet that Robert got for our aluminum vehicles, which is lovely. This is the grill to a 2014 Tesla Model S in black.
Nice grill.
Factory black.
Nice grill.
This one has some holes in it from the license plate and from the gentleman who backed into it. So this was an accident in my wife's car, just been repaired. So here's a little, what's it cost?
Yeah,
trivia,
let's do that.
Situation, right?
Because this actually comes up later in the earnings.
It does, a little bit, right? So it took quite a while for it to happen, the parts and all that other situation. So a gentleman backed into this, broke this piece. I believe it's called a fascia or some sort of situation
fascia something.
There was some damage to the regular bumper, had to be painted and buffed out and whatever gum and such like
and
that.
Such?
Estimated cost?
For something like this, which is a piece of plastic.
With some paint of the other bumper.
Thing. I'm thinking, add the five, that's $500. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm thinking $500, double that, it'll be $1,000. Mm-hmm. That's $1,000 just for that.
Okay, good guess. Your guess is in, Robert?
We're talking about damage to the hood?
No hood damage, no, just the bumper.
The bumper.
And this piece replaced.
Okay,
this piece has a price tag on it. They didn't replace the bumper. There was some work done on the assembly.
Of the bumper. Underneath the bumper.
Yeah, and some paintage of the bumpage.
Mm.
I don't have the thing with me about the actual parts, which I meant to bring.
The parts are not expensive.
Yeah,
they're impressively not expensive.
Most of it's tied up in the labor.
Yeah, the labor.
But still, any ideas? Guess?
$2,000.
Mm, more than that. $2,500. Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the Pleasure Dome.
Yeah. You're just another rich ass guy with a Tesla.
Well, I mean,
so
here's a good question, right? Is it because it's a luxury vehicle, right? Because Elon's always talking about cost of ownership, battery, you don't pay for gas, or this and that, the other thing. Does the high cost of the repairs kind of nullify the low cost of the day to day fueling?
We need more data because I know friends who have done the same thing, a friend of mine just got scuff marks on the bumper bar of his. Is that what you call here? Bumper bar and straight of his Mercedes, and it was $900 just to basically wash it.
Yeah,
yeah. He should have washed it himself.
But let's go on. Let's talk about the earnings call. But before we go there, go.
So I got an email from a friend of the show, Sean Mitchell of YouTube fame.
Mm-hmm.
Great gentleman. So basically, before the earnings call, there's this website, say.com, which was set up by another friend of the show, Robert?
Yeah, another Tesla tuber.
A Tesla tuber.
Galileo Russell at Hypercharge. Mm-hmm. No, I keep saying that. I'm always thinking charge when it comes to electric cars.
Yeah.
It's Hyperchange.
Hyperchange, okay.
Yeah. We met him at the Rivian event.
Yeah, the Rivian event. Right. And so this website, say.com, sort of, if you're a Tesla shareholder, you go to this website, you log in, you put your name, your email, all that other stuff.
Right now.
And if you attach your brokerage account, like say you're a Tesla shareholder, you attach your brokerage account, it'll calculate the number of shares you have, yes, and it will allow you to be a voter, an upvoter, a question asker. So they take four, a bunch of people ask questions, yes, for the earnings call. At the, yes, end of the earnings call, they take the questions. Mm-hmm. And this site, you upvote the questions you want them to talk about. So the top question was like, they answered four questions today from at the beginning of the earnings call, were all from this website. So if you're a Tesla shareholder, mm-hmm, and you want to get your question, mm-hmm, to Elon during one, mm-hmm, of these earnings calls, say.com is your avenue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Say it doesn't suck.
What?
Say it doesn't suck.
I'm sorry, say what?
I got to say, and do I don't want to say?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to diss this site.
Yeah, I don't.
But I think the questions on the uh-huh, earnings call are some of the stupidest, most ridiculous questions.
But the
because they're all financial related, and I want to like
ask. You're talking about that.
But the most insightful questions were these questions.
Okay.
That's where the first four things, yeah, that you're going to discuss in this call situation were,
okay,
questions from this website.
Right.
And in fact, the very – so Elon did his opening statement, and he talked about service. The number one question was also from Sean. And they glossed over it, the question,
because
he asked a question about
it.
Service, because Elon talked about it in, right, his opening statement. That's how top of mind Say.com and the Tesla shareholders are. They're like in sync with one Mr. Musk.
There you go. Say. So let's do it, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, because on the tweener we talked about the fact that Elon a week or so ago was saying, mm-hmm, Q4, we sold lots of cars, but I think be very lucky to make a profit.
Very lucky.
And then they laid off 7% of their workforce. And on the tweener, I was freaking out. And I thought it was the end of the world. And then they come out with their report and it actually made money.
Yeah.
Which made many people think, oh, okay, this is okay. This is their second quarter in a row they've made money. So things weren't as bad.
More money, less money than the other quarter? What was the final
number? I don't remember the exact
numbers,
but they made some cash. Anything more than zero to me was good.
Right.
The important thing was that they had more money in the bank.
Yes.
And they can pay off all of these bonds coming due,
mm-hmm,
in March so that they don't have to stress over the price of the shares.
I listened to like three quarters of the call. At some point, did somebody ask him about the bond dueness?
Yes.
They did talk about, okay, it. So let's get to it. Let's go through some of these things. So I'm going to do this in real time. I just listened to the show and I did some notes. So we'll go through basically the whole thing pretty quickly. So, mm-hmm, Elon opens up as he always does. And he said 2018 was our most challenging, yet it was our most successful. We are now the best-selling premium car in the entire United States.
Mm-hmm.
We sold 80% of all of the EVs in North America.
I have a question about that.
Go.
Quantify that by saying, because I talked to a friend of mine before I came here. Did he quantify plug-in or hybrid? Any EV that could be plugged in and
not
use gas?
It's funny because in my mind I just assumed fully mm-hmm, electric, but it'd be hard to beat all the plug-in EVs as well. So I don't know. Good question. But it was an impressive number until you screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they delivered as many vehicles last year, 2018, as all the prior years of their existence, which is...
Combined,
right. Thank you, which is impressive. They've been doubling every year. They were on this big exponential part of the curve, and they expect this to continue.
Right.
So there was a lot about there's a recession coming. All the economists are saying a recession is coming. They believe that this year they'll sell at least 50% more than they did in 2018, so that curve will continue,
right,
to ramp. So here's some of the numbers. Profit for Q4, they said they put, and I don't know if you can quote me on this, $700 million more dollars in the bank.
Cash in the bank.
So now they have $3.7 billion in the bank,
which,
yes, is nice. They had a 5.7% margin, which is not the 25% margin that they're working for. So overall, financially, my anxiety, my fear, they're crashing, they're burning, seems to be that it's not so bad. They put some more money in the bank.
Uh-huh.
They can look after their own debt. They don't have to go to the capital markets. So everybody, Mel, calm down.
But you were panicked because the 7% reduction in workforce, correct? That was the big part of it. But
yeah,
if you read the letter, and we'll talk about the little bit, the letter from Elon to the company and to the world, they had actually added 30% to their overall workforce in that year as well. So, like, there's a net increase.
But there was a cut of 5% back in the summer.
Right. But it's still overall a net increase. So he's like, I think what they're doing is they're becoming, and they mentioned this over and over and over again, very efficient in how they're spending their money. They're not the free spending bon vivant that they may have used to have been.
Right.
What's that word? Bon vivant.
I don't know what it means. I just wanted to throw something bon kind vivant. Of international out there.
I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So they went on to say that they continue to improve service operations in North America. That's one of the big things that they're planning for this year. We all know that if you take a Tesla in right now, it can take a long time to get it fixed. So that's a big thing that they're trying to fix. Another big issue that they have to deal with this year is getting cars to China and Europe. They need to fix those logistics. Because they can build the cars, but then they have to get the cars to Europe and get them to China. And that is a big deal that obviously they're having some hard time with.
And did you hear in that one part a little bit later, maybe you're going to talk about it, I don't know, where he said all the cars they're currently making in Fremont are going to China and Europe?
Yes. So that means confusing.
That all those cars that we've been seeing, I've been seeing stockpiled around in Burbank, by the airport, and at Disney, like those cars, they kind of built them to fulfill some future orders in the States while they ramped up this European and Chinese production. I think it's very interesting.
They expected, my expectation is that their deliveries to the United States really were on fire at the end of the year to take advantage of the $7,500 tax rebate. And they like purposefully over-delivered. I don't know if that's really the term, but they delivered to absolute saturation so that in the first couple of months of the year, they can focus on European and Chinese deliveries.
And those, all of those vehicles have the, of the Model 3, to be specific, right? All of those cars will have that new charging.
The CCS. Correct? The CCS. I wasn't unclear. That's, he did say that in the earnings call that all of the cars being built right now are for China and Europe. And like, is that what you mean? All of the cars? But so it might be true for a month or two that they can do that. Because like you said, you build up, you fill out all the orders, and you know there's going to be a huge dip. And there are two reasons, and they talk about why you're going to have a huge dip. One is you lose a tax credit, okay? But the other thing is that you don't sell a lot of cars in the US and Canada in January and February because going outside is basically lethal. Nobody goes out, and he said, in a blizzard to go buy a new car.
You've already spent your Christmas money or your Kwanzaa money.
Well, that's very much less of an issue on the West Coast.
Yeah. But then you come to January, December, January, February, typically slow months for selling cars in the United States. Picks up again in March. And they were kind of working that.
So it's a very stepwise approach to car production and distribution.
Every car, I still don't believe that every car they're creating right now is for the European market.
I mean, that's what he said in the call.
I don't know. And then he went on to
say. He never exaggerates. Let me just put that out there.
I've told you a trillion times not to exaggerate. Now, he was optimistic about Q1 profit, and he believes that they will be profitable for all quarters going forward. Now, they actually said that last quarter after they became profitable, and they almost broke that rule, but he wasn't as confident that they will be profitable, but it'll be close. And the next thing is that they increased the service fleets to 411 vehicles, and they can scale it up fast, but I don't know where they are now. Does anybody know? Like 411. Did they go from 400 to 411 or did they go from 200?
No, he said there's 411
service vehicles.
He said 411 service vehicles in their mobile service fleet. They added 27 new stores and or service centers for a total of 378 worldwide, which is nice. And then he talked about, well, was it here? No. But he talked about their bonehead ability to supply parts to the various service centers. And I thought that was
Before we get there, there's a little few things just before that. So first of all, he talks about the app. So now you can get service on the app. That was with the last upgrade. You can just tap the app and say, service my
car. Have you tried doing that to see if it works? And he also said that the top 10 sort of parts are just automatically listed. Like you have an issue
with
this.
That's what I wanted to see. Yeah, service. Let's see. Schedule service. I'm going to check out what the top 10 problems are.
We have no camera on this. No camera. Super helpful.
Who needs that? New appointment. Okay. I just clicked new appointment.
Plus sign.
Here. Key fob and key card.
Ooh.
Firmware update. Alert appeared.
Just put it right in front of the Google.
Micah, can you go to the Google.
I can read it to you
that's
from my phone.
Unreadable. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's, glad we can help.
Impossible. So we can maybe drop that in, but likely we won't.
I think this is designed just so that
right.
we cannot.
If you have a Tesla app, you should open it, and then you can see what we're talking okay, about.
Well, at the moment, right, this is going to change.
Right,
so yeah. It's key fob and key card. Firmware update. Alert appeared. Heating and air conditioning.
Uh-huh.
Maintenance. Huh? Glass replacement and window function. That was you once.
Yes.
Paint and or cosmetic concern.
Been there.
Yeah. Driver assistance features, audio infotainment and touchscreen.
I'm going to need one for that one.
Yeah, me too. My touchscreen needs to be replaced. Range and charging, accessory installation and upgrades.
Ooh,
oh, that sounds interesting. Tires and wheels. I need some tires soon. Door handles and latches, noise or vibration and other. So
there you go.
What
so,
if you have to,
and Mel, the noise and vibration from your seat, that's not
that's
what
not
they're
from
talking
the gas.
About.
And you know, it's interesting because it's automatically checked on mine, firmware update. I guess maybe I'm due for a firmware update.
Push next.
Yeah. All right, well.
So the other things that they said, they're going to make it easier for your car to be picked up and dropped off. He specifically said, you know, we want to get it so that you can just say, like, fix my car, click on the app, come and get it, and then
yeah.
drop it off.
What? Okay. Really? What did you guys think about that, though, right? So they're saying before
I thought
it
was
even
great,
stops,
superficially.
No,
tow truck
if,
and a loner on the way to you?
So
come
let's
on,
specifically
where
say that.
Do you live?
If, let's specifically say. So you're driving along your car and the car says regenerative braking
failure.
Is broken or something.
Uh-huh.
Before you even stop to mm-hmm. get home, it sent out a signal to get you a tow truck mm-hmm. and to bring you a loner so that this time, downtime for you is. But I was thinking the same thing. What if I'm in, I don't know, Ballarat, Australia?
Right, or Kansas.
It might be on the way, but it'll take a
yeah,
day.
That's right. It's coming 6 months from now. So I think in metro areas that might be true, but don't expect that level of service for everyone.
Yeah,
I'm laughing because I'm covered probably, but not everybody in
right. Well, I mean, there, so
is.
Alternatively, in places like Los Angeles, California, where we live, where a lot of Teslas live, even potentially more of a problem, right? Let's say 15 or
right.
20 of them go down at once. I mean, once you have 200,000 or 300,000 of these things on the road in the city, and literally you cannot swing a dead cat in this area without seeing a Model 3.
Why would you swing
cats?
A dead cat?
I'm just saying if you wanted, if you had a dead cat and you were swinging it, chances are you would hit
but
a Model 3.
Why would 3. You do that?
Well, you wouldn't. It's an analogy. It's not,
it's not an analogy.
It's not?
It's a dead cat.
It's a saying.
Oh, it's a saying.
It's
analogous. I don't know what it is.
Why
I have
would you?
No,
I've never thought about that before. Said, why would you swing a dead cat?
I think there's actually a cat.
If you say, if you swung a stuffed monkey, how about that?
Okay, that's a little bit. I don't know why you would do that.
We should have the monkey here to swing.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go further. So improving. Now, this is what you're going to talk about. This
parts.
So improving parts distribution. So they've had a really slow turnaround because they used to keep the parts over at a distribution center. You'd come in with your broken car, and Robert would go, "My car's broken," and the guy would look at it and say, "Okay, you need this part. Hang on a couple of days while we get it." And they're like, "We're stupid. We're idiots. We should have these parts at the service centers." What do you think about them calling themselves stupid and idiots 12 times on this call about this fundamentally basic thing?
I heard bonehead, dumb. And he said it was his fault.
But it worked.
He did say it was
his
fault.
When it was just S's and X's.
Well, I don't know how well it worked. I think it still could take some
it
considerable
worked because,
time.
Because everybody who went in got a Tesla loaner. So they didn't care how long you had their car, right? You're like, oh, I brought in my 70. They gave me a 90D.
But,
like, why did you care? It was no, there was no skin on
But he
your
was
back.
Saying that like there was a fundamental problem with their thinking. Like this was a good idea, have a regional center and then get the parts. And now he's saying that was completely stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, he even said that. Some of the people in China at the service centers noted
that
there were parts made in China shipped to New Jersey warehouse. And then when they needed them at the China service center, they had to get shipped back to China.
That's terrible.
And this basic Chinese engineer goes, hey, Elon, that's not efficient. And he's like, you're a genius.
He says, I am a physicist. That's a lot
it
of,
turns
lot
out
of
it,
miles.
If over there, a mile away, they made the part, you should probably just send the part to me here and not go via New Jersey.
Just leave
8,
it. Just leave it there.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Or at least a few of them.
Some.
It's amazing how stuff like that is so basic and fundamental but happens frequently. And they're saying, we're going to fix this. This is the kind of stuff we're going to do to make it faster so that when you come in with one of your top 10 breaky things,
yeah.
right.
you can expect the service center's going to have it. Instead of being like 2 days, it's going to be like,
right.
go get a coffee, Come back in half an hour.
But let's be honest. Like, this ain't on Elon. This is on whoever was in charge of global parts distribution, right? Like,
yeah, but he didn't call anyone.
But
out.
He made it sound like it was his decision. Yeah. I'm smarter than you.
Well, if that's industry a bigger people. Problem. If Elon's making these sorts of granular decisions on how they're running their parts distribution, no wonder he's sleeping on the factory floor.
Right, or maybe in the factory warehouse where they have all the parts.
Right.
Get this shit out of here.
I need a space
he
for my
He said
cot.
That service should be lightning fast, like Jiffy Lube. 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Eight minutes.
Then he was like, I don't know, maybe not 8 minutes.
Well, he did say this, and it goes with what you've got right here. Basic body service should occur at the service centers. For example, the front and rear fascia should take 15 to 20 minutes. Replace that. You're out of here, Tom. And give me $2,500 on the way up.
It just clips it. Well, this would, if it was just this, it would only have been like $600 or $700 only.
I want to get into the
this
plastic
made in China.
Plastic.
This piece made in China.
Is it?
Yeah. Says so right on it. El Stampo'd.
Well, they don't use this anymore anyway. So the dump
was made in
China.
They
might need a few in China. It's true.
Well, they're making them. Because we got a new one.
Now let's get into the interesting part. You ready?
Oh, interesting.
So that's all good. We're going to make all this stuff better. We hear this all the time.
Oh, new products.
More new products. Let's talk about Model Y.
How exciting were you?
The engineering's done. Production is getting ready. So first of all, here's what you need to know. 3/4 of the parts of the Y are going to be the same as the Model 3.
Why?
This is important. 3/4 of the parts... of the Y are going to be the same as the Model 3.
But why?
It's hard to get past it. And this is going to result in much less CapEx. For example, when they went from S to X, only 30% of the parts were the same. The X was basically a very different car.
Yeah.
And so they had to ramp up.
He called it a Fabergé egg of a vehicle. I thought that was amazing.
Yes. Yeah. It was egotistical. It was silly. It was very expensive. It's a beautiful car.
Yeah.
No car will be built like this again because no car should be built like this again.
I have a quick question.
Uh-huh. Please.
Has your new ex killed anybody yet?
Or attempted?
No.
Oh, look at that.
Maybe because we haven't had enough opportunity. I got to tell
you. So you're not wearing a hat because it attacked you?
No, I'm still afraid of the doors. But I got to tell you, the new ex, folding seats.
Genius, right?
So genius.
I mean, that was like a
folding
day
seats.
One thing for us. Like,
folding
really?
Seats. It's changed my wife's life.
Of
she carries a lot of crap around. And she's like, you know what's really great about this car? I can fold the seats. Yeah. I'm like, I know.
You know what's really great about every car?
You
folding
can fold
seats.
It has so much room in there. It's so good. And the extra, I got to tell you, it's also weird. Just the extra 50 miles of range makes a huge
big difference, yeah.
Like just driving up to San Francisco and stuff, it like saves you an hour. It's amazing. Going on. Here's the big one, and we've been talking about this for a long time, ladies and germs.
Where
are they going to build the Y?
Yes, where is the Y going to be built?
And we presume that it would have to be...
China?
We presumed it would be the Gigafactory.
Of course we did.
They just confirmed, but not absolutely said production at the Gigafactory is where it's going to occur. We think, pretty sure. I'm not sure where else it could be.
In a perfect world.
So then you do the skids and you do all the stuff. And the batteries are coming off, and you do it at the Gigafactory. Although I was amazed that now he's sort of said that's where it's going to be. He didn't say 100%. It seems like mostly. Yeah, we're pretty sure that's where it's going to be, but I don't hold me to that.
Well, this is probably what's going to happen. They're probably going to like put that line in there. They may do some testing in the Fremont to like sort of fine-tune the line with their experienced workers and not have to send them over there and see if... You know, one of the more important things, right, is can that line integrate back and forth to do Ys and threes at the same time, like 10 Ys, couple threes, like, and kind of go back and forth. Because I think in a perfect world, that may be, in the long run, what they want to do in the Shanghai factory is get them both coming off the same line so they don't have to have, you know, dedicated lines and they can be more flexible, they can be more nimble as it pertains to orders and such.
It makes sense. And maybe then they can increase three production overall and get closer to the 10,000 a week without the Chinese Gigafactory.
But can you imagine that Model Y roll-off event at the Gigafactory in the middle of the desert?
Oh, are we going to get invited? So the other things he said about this, so obviously this doing it at the Gigafactory in Nevada is going to make it faster. He said, again, not sure if that's the default plan. And he believes that the sales of Model Y, and we've said this before, will be 50 to 100% that of the sales of the Model 3. As people have moved away from the sedan and they might like the sort of the SUV again, I think this is a big deal for their ongoing future. They will sell, I believe, more than twice the number of Model Ys than they do Model 3s.
Yeah.
I can tell you, for me personally, Model Y was out today. That's the one I'm getting. I love the Model 3, but I want the little SUV.
What are you going to do with your 3SENX?
It's kind of perfect timing because the lease of the S is up at the end of the year, and I'm hoping I'll just do a month to month until the Y comes out. Boom, see ya, S. Hello, Y.
So I got a question for you.
Because it's about why? Because I like it. Why? Because it's going to have 400 mile range. Why? Because it'll be fully autonomous. Why? Because I'll sit up high. What? Any more whys?
Just ask.
It's a lot of assumptions. Why's the sitting up high is the biggest
thing. My question for you is, if the Y is revealed on the Ides of March, which I don't really expect, but that was the plan, right? Yes. March 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he says, all the built prototypes that might even be able to give you a ride. That would be a kick if that was the case. And then he says, we're going to try and get these out at the end by the end of the year. And they say, Mel,
yes,
because you've been such a lover, such a supporter of Tesla over the past almost 4 years on YouTube or whatever, Apple, iTunes, we would like to deliver to you one of the very first whys so you can not tear our asses wide open and complain incessantly about it because we know your lease is up. Would you take one of the first 100 whys to come off the assembly line?
Can I give you two answers to that? I'll give you the theoretical answer and the real answer. The theoretical answer is no. You do not, if you're a smart human being, if you have any intelligence of all, take any new major product and get the first few thousand of that, because there's a lot to work out. There's going to be a lot of problems with those first Ys that come off there. Why? Because it's a new product.
I got one of the first few thousand threes.
I got one of the first few thousand Xs, but I had to go back a number of times. If it's a new laptop, if it's a new car, if it's a new phone, you wait till they work out some issues. So that's my theoretical answer. No, I don't want that. You work your issues out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what's the real answer?
Yeah.
I will take it in an instant. Thank you very much.
And some of the things that you could end up getting is what happened with my car, right? It has that Alcantara instead of the other on the roof. So you could get some premium options unless he's going to learn from his past errors, although that wasn't much of a storm, honestly.
And so if Elon offers to sign your dashboard,
yes,
would you let him?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, he's more of a fanboy these days than I thought.
Oh, I'm a fan.
Would you? Fanboy.
Sure.
Oh, we know that. It was a rhetorical question.
So, we've been through it so many times, I won't go through it again. I'm excited about the Model Y. I really hope they do some of those extra things like 400-mile range. I think they should do with the Y what they did with the 3. Don't even set the expectation that the Y is going to be a less expensive car. Just give us the $60,000 version, load it up, and then trickle down later on and make it cheaper. But just let's load that puppy up. Let's have 400 miles range. Let's just do that. Idiots like me will buy it, and then drop the price later. Now, then he went into anything else you want to say about Y? Why? Because I just asked you. Why?
Shanghai.
Let's talk about Gigafactory China. So they're going to start production this year in volume. Let's just go through that again. This year in volume. They broke ground and wind just a few months ago. And they're going to be in volume this year.
They're moving quick.
It took Gigafactory Nevada a number of years.
But when they say volume, they don't say what that volume will be. They also said that volume is going to be built in a factory that's 10% of its total
We'll get to that as a big, that is huge. Right. So this is part of their, they want to get to 10,000 cars a week worldwide by the end of the year. The China Gigafactory is a big part of that.
Was that, okay, this is where I'm a little bit, rubber hits the road. I was a little bit confused. Is it 10,000 a week in the China Gigafactory?
No, 3,000.
Total.
Okay, 3,000 in China.
And 7,000 in the U.S.
7,000 in the U.S.
Okay.
By the end of the year
is
the plan.
That's why I think they're going to start cranking out cars. Or they're saying they're going to start cranking out cars at Gigafactory 1 in Sparks, Nevada. Because right now they're barely getting 5,000.
Well, they're getting 7,000 total. Yeah, but they're talking about threes, right? They're talking about total.
So is that because – so then what's the total capacity of like Ys and threes that they think they'll sell in a year? Like what's that number? Because you said the number for the threes – was about 700 to 800. Is it 700 to 800 threes? And then if Ys are much more popular, then is it 800,000 to 1 million? And then we're talking about 1.7 million cars a year?
Right. They talked about, and I'm reading a little bit between the lines here, that he thinks total worldwide for three, he's just talking about three, total worldwide demand for three in a good economy is going to be about 700 to 800,000 a year, in a bad economy, about 500,000.
Mm-hmm. And then 50% on top of that for Y.
So one, they were talking about 1.5 million a year for Y. And S and X, they expect actually for it to come down a little bit, but the price, the average price is going to go up. So 100,000 still of S and X.
So 2 so, million cars a year.
Yeah, that's sort it of it there in the next few years end, they're right? talking about. In a good economy. And they said that a lot right. because they expect the world economy is going
to
go down.
That's 7,000 a week in Fremont, which yes. works out to be what?
So
I don't know what the math on that one. 7,000 times 52.
So 350,000.
Right.
Okay. And then 3,000, at least initially, in China.
So let's just do 10,000. So that's 500,000 a year.
Right. And then plus then the Gigafactory in
then
in
the
Nevada.
Y add to that. So maybe a million. Let's say it's twice that. So you could do 1.5 million.
Right. So they're going to be capacity limited? Or is China going to eventually... Is it going to just be so in this realm what we're talking about right now? Because we've had many conversations about Gigafactory Europe. Where's the next Gigafactory? Gigafactories Australia. Mm-hmm. Is the capacity of Nevada, Shanghai, and Fremont enough for them to meet what they feel is their top level global demand?
Well, that's just in the short term, the next few years. Because later on, and we'll get back to it in the call.
Okay.
As you said. That this capacity they talk about in China is initial capacity, and they're saying at full volume, they're at 10 times that.
So 30,000? Did they say that?
They said that this 3,000 a week is about 10% of the volume that they'll ultimately be able to do at China Gigafactory.
So that's 30,000 a week.
Yes, and we know that Gigafactory Nevada is 30%, so it's going to be a lot bigger. And that's not all cars, that's stationary storage and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we don't know exactly, but you're getting an idea. This analyst that was asking the question was more interested in demand. What do you think demand is? It wasn't so much as can you keep up. Eventually you'll catch up, but demand he believes will continue to be big. Then they went on to talk about self-driving and network. So this is where I start to disagree with some of the spiel. So I can't remember who it was, asked the question, so what's happening with full self-driving? When's that going to occur? And what about getting these cars on the network? And he said this, first of all, Elon says this, we already have full self-driving on highways. Tom, do you agree with that?
No.
Well, he's talking from his experience. So he has a car that has the beta version in which you can turn off the nag on highway. So it doesn't ask you, can I change lanes now? The car will just change lanes to go into a faster lane, to get merging over to the high number lanes, to get off of the highway. The car will do that automatically. And his car has been doing that for many months now. He's tweeted about it.
And so, he said your car will do that in the next few weeks. They're going to turn off stalk. You have to say
stalk,
yes, it's
okay. Confirm.
Yeah,
confirm.
He also mentioned the enhanced summon. Is really part
that's
of that,
another
right?
thing. No, that's actually separate because that's going to enable you to get the car when you're in some parking structure.
No, but he said that the ability for them to roll next that month. Out, right, was a big step in making it, because that's the real, one of the difficult navigational things. So he thinks that's a key learning part for the car.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing, obviously. A key learning part for the car to be able to do all of the additional self-driving, full autonomy stuff.
I got that was kind of separate.
Yeah, but step back for a second, because okay. that's the next step. I just want to ask you right now.
No.
With stalk or no stalk, how good is your car for fully autonomous driving on the freeway? And I would say, as I said to you, just driving up to Santa Cruz this weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it's great, but every now and then there's a shadow and there's an overpass and it... hits the brake very violently. I'm like, this is not ready for prime time.
I'm not ready to move into the back seat, are you?
No.
Even though there was a video recently of another guy sleeping in his Tesla.
Yeah, I saw that. But I use it all the time. And again, if I'm familiar with the route, I'm a lot more casual letting the car drive itself.
Yes.
And I find that only when I go to places that are kind of new, like today, I took Topanga Canyon to get here. The traffic was completely effed. And so I drove on the coast, came through Topanga Canyon, and I put it on autopilot through Topanga Canyon.
Is a big, windy road.
I actually made a nice little video
of it.
And twice I had a, no, three times I had to make a bug report because as I'm driving along and the double yellow or orange line down the middle breaks because there's some kind of an intersection, not really, but I'm like, somebody can come in from a road that I couldn't see because it was dark. The car sort of like lazily moves over towards the left where there's this absence of the double yellow line, and it lazily moves back into the proper lane. Meanwhile, you're like a fifth of the lane into the opposing traffic. And I had to correct it all three times. I did not let it do it all by itself. And I sent a bug report every time. So the point of my story is when you have a problem with autopilot, especially navigate on autopilot, send a bug report. Right side of your steering wheel on an S or X, the little voice symbol, push on that. Wait a minute. Say bug report. Speak quick. Just say something really quick. Went over the lane line. Look at it. And then they can pull up the logs.
So that's a good point. Now, he was talking about on freeways. So you went on a freeway. So I don't think even on freeways it's that good yet. But he did say in the next few weeks, they're going to take away this requirement. Right now, what happens if you don't have a Tesla is that you're driving down the freeway and you're on navigate on autopilot. It will say change lanes to get into the faster lane or get out of the fast lane because people need to pass you or because you're going to change to another freeway. But in order to change lanes, you have to go okay and hit your stalk or hit your indicator. That's going to go away in the next version, which he says is a few weeks away, which is the car will do that for you. So in theory, once you get onto the freeway and you put in your navigation, it'll drive you through the freeway. It'll change lanes for you automatically. It'll get to the next freeway. It will take you off the freeway and then will be very nice and say, and now we're off the freeway. Please take over, bag of meat.
Will I still know how to drive at that point?
Yeah. I will not trust it because although in my testing, it's never tried to change into somebody and it's always been very accurate. It's this shadow thing that's still a problem. That you're driving along and there's a shadow and it just slams on the brakes and the people behind you are like, you're the worst driver ever. Like, yeah. It's not me, it's Tesla.
I've had situations with the Phantom braking without even shadows. Like nothing to indicate why it was doing that.
So yeah. Then they talked about what you were talking about. So they said...
he said then that removing the stalk confirm is the next step. Then stop signs. He says stop signs are very easy. They've already got that down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not live. Huh?
He said VR.
VR.
Virtual reality, some sort of weird thing. He said it's easy because they're like all the same shape. And
Yeah, it can recognize them. Okay. Yeah.
Next comes traffic lights and intersections, which are actually a problem still because they can be really complicated. Mm-hmm. I mean, like not every one of them is, you know, two lanes in each direction with lights. Some of them are really quite complicated with multiple turn lanes and like this turn lane goes to that place and this one goes to that place.
Right.
And so that's still something they're working on. And then came the complex parking lot issue where you have multi-level parking lots so that your GPS code might indicate any of five levels or you're going underground where you're not going to have any GPS signal or cell signal.
And it's like people are walking and cars are coming in and out. And anybody that's driven knows that you are most likely to ding your car in the parking lot.
But even what about the stop sign situation, right? So what about a stop sign, four-way stop sign versus a non-four-way stop sign? Does the car, can the car see a block down the street, somebody driving 80 miles an hour super fast because they don't have a stop sign in their direction? And is it going to, theoretically, it could go and by the time it gets halfway into the intersection, get plowed? How is it going to address that stuff?
I don't know, but all I can say is if that stuff is ready to be rolled out by next month, then they've got to have this stuff dialed down because they do not need any more crappy news stories about how Teslas are killing people.
So let's go back a few months. If they're ready, very nice. If they're ready to roll all this stuff out now, why have we still not gotten the cross-country drive-by-yourself thing?
Oh, hello. He's overselling it again. Right? I agree with you because it's still not ready. The stop sign thing, and he said this full self-driving by the end of the year, but then we'll have to wait for the regulators. So I think Is this true? Maybe so much of this depends on their own silicon, that this new piece of silicon is going to make thing so much better. As you said, he's driving the beta version of what's next. He's probably got the first chip that came off some Israeli sort of chip maker, which is probably where they're being made.
Well, I don't know about that, because he said it's already live in beta cars. And I know people with beta cars who have like 2012 cars. So, I mean, I can't say it's got to be a car that has all the cameras on it. But
yeah.
I'm like, if this.
Well, I think it's in order to get to the end of the year, it's got to be full sealed. And then the regulars, I just like right now, I just don't see this happening at level four the way we think about it. I think it might get really good on the freeways, but then getting off the freeways. And like you say, the other groups that do autonomous driving say there's a fundamental problem with passive photons, which is just cameras. And that's why LiDAR is such a big deal, because it can look way over there and see the guy who's driving at 80 miles an hour and like, hey, hang on a second. And there's been these Waymo videos that have shown that, like kids that are on a skateboard that I don't know if you can see very well on a video, but a LiDAR can see it much better. And then we hear, although not on the earnings call, that maybe the next level, 3.5 of Tesla, is going to have some other radar which might be LiDAR. Maybe, but that's not what they're talking about here. They're talking
about
full self-driving by the end of the year with what you've got plus the new chipset.
Right.
I don't believe it. Don't hold your breath. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on
the other guy.
Me. I remember a president.
Don't
screw
pull
that up.
A bush on that one.
Okay.
But then, of course, they always fall back on the regulators have to approve all this stuff.
It's working.
Sounds like that's not going to be an issue in the United States. Which goes to the Tesla advocacy team, which has been very beefed up. We talked about that. Yeah. I don't know.
Going to put
in
you
October.
Out of a job, man. No more MVAs coming in.
I'm fine with that.
That'd be cool. So let's go on to the next part. So we're a little bit skeptical about this full driving. It's very interesting.
A little bit skeptical.
I'm very skeptical altogether. Now, then somebody asked, SNX, when are you going to drop the 2170 cells in there, and what range can we expect? And the comment was,
crickets.
No comment.
Crickets.
We're not telling you about that. I don't know why. They are a little bit aggressive
about
it.
He said they have no plans to put those new batteries. Because I think basically they don't see a need to redesign that power pack.
It's already working.
So I ask you this question, man of Tesla.
Please.
So they've got the 18, what is it? 18...
18650.
18650 is in the S and the X right now.
Yeah.
We're getting the Supercharger 3 is coming. Can those cells take the extra speed of charging that version 3, which might be twice as fast, take? I thought that only the 2170 would be able to do that.
I think not. And mainly, I guess it depends on what is the architecture of newer model S and X packs, because there was a teardown video that was nauseatingly long and difficult to watch, but I did for you.
Thank you.
And you.
Thank you.
And so they showed in this video a teardown of a Model 3 battery pack and a Model S battery pack. The S battery pack was a good 5 years old. The S battery pack had basically four, if you imagine the cells standing up, there were four rows of cells, and then on either side was a coolant jacket, if you will. In other words, it's like a band with a bunch of little channels through it that the coolant would pass. So you would have a row of batteries on either side, and then there would be a second row deeper. And if you try and charge those at a very high rate of charge, probably the more center two rows of batteries would get quite a bit hotter, and the coolant system couldn't cool them so well.
Mm-hmm.
Looking now at the Model 3 battery pack, you had two rows of cells with a coolant strip on either side of them.
Mm-hmm.
So every single battery is in contact with a coolant strip, which would enable that battery pack to get hotter or at least counteract in the increased heat of increased voltage.
So your theory is that the 2170 could be charged faster with the new cooling system.
Right. And they,
but
right.
The problem is that the energy density of that 20 of the old cells is not as much, so you'd have to have a physically bigger battery pack if you put in more coolant.
Right, if you dropped in these, you know, like eighth-inch channels between every other row, you'd increase the size of the pack or decrease the number of cells you could put in the pack.
Well, the other part about it, from an engineering standpoint, is those batteries are bigger. They're just physically bigger.
Which ones?
The new batteries.
The new batteries,
they're physically
half
bigger.
Half a millimeter wider.
If you're adding
Oh, 21.
Equal number of the batteries or a little more to get more range, which would be really the only reason to redesign the power pack, right? To make it bigger. You're having to deal with height issues, right? That you're having to re-engineer the whole sled, which means you're going to have to retool the whole sled.
Right.
You're going to have to do a lot of work for a car that a legacy vehicle.
Right.
I would say they would do that with a massive redesign.
Well, they might also be, instead of doing that, and I agree, I think that's a bad idea if you want to keep your costs controlled and continue to crank out profitable cars, but they might have beefed up the cooling system. Maybe they just increased the rate at which the coolant flows. Maybe they changed the channels or they put in some sort of a system by which the heat could be moved, maybe with just strips of copper from the inner portion to the coolant strip region. I mean, it could just be simple changes like that.
So it's more of a coolant issue in your mind than a battery chemistry issue.
I think it's probably battery chemistry too, but they might also say, hey, look, you know, we're willing to sacrifice a couple years of longevity and replace a few people's packs who complain rather than redo this whole car.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'd be bummed at, like, my wife just got an X, and it would be a bummer if version 3 of the supercharging comes out and it's no faster. It'd be a bummer.
Yeah, you can just drive the 3 and the Y around and your wife can be happy with her folding seats.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, Semi and Y, where to produce them. So Y is at the Gigafactory, they think. They said that again.
Why?
Initially, low volume in Y early next year. And how fast can they ramp that up? They're saying high volume by the end of the year. So again, they're sort of looking at this like Model 3. Let's just get a couple out early in the year. And let's play with some stuff, and then let's ramp up production over the year. And we're not going to give you any promises, but by the end of the year, we should be able to be popping these puppies out fast.
Do they, in your non-knowledgeable opinions, go with the reservation system again for the Y?
I would say yes, because that is a substantial amount of what we call here in America quiche.
I think yes,
cash.
But because it's marketing, it gauges excitement, it's a lot of press cycles for that reason. I don't, because they don't need the money.
If they come out in March, well, it's always nice to have some money in the bank. If they came out like in March or something, and here's the Y, and it's fantastic, it has no falcon wing doors, and it's got a 400-mile range, and it's got all these new things, and it's exciting, they'll have a million pre-orders. A million.
They'll
have double
the Model 3 globally.
That's more than double, but that's like 1.5 times crazy.
Didn't it get up to $450? That was like the top.
It will be $2,000 to reserve. It will be $2 billion in
lots of cash that they can.
I'm just saying, this is not based on anything except
Follow-up question.
I think it's good. I think they will. And will they sell the first ones to staff?
Mm-hmm. Follow-up question.
Follow-up question.
How many reservations do you get?
How many do I get?
You do the same thing again?
Two. That was all on the fly. You realize that?
Yeah.
The first people who went into that store that morning that I stood in line, they got one reservation. And all of a sudden there was two reservations. And some people were saying they were getting six reservations at other stores, like in other cities. And it was like totally on the fly.
Do you still have your two reservations?
I have one of them.
Me too. I would get one.
Weird. You guys are weird.
I know. It's just sitting there.
What are you guys doing?
I'm making 0%
you can
on that
buy
$1,000.
A car and have it delivered in like 2 days.
I know.
Stop.
I know. Yeah. It's
ridiculous. Get your money.
I would actually get one.
Give it to me.
Because I don't need it. Now we're done. Like, if I have the Y, let's get the X, we've got the 3, done.
How many Teslas has he been done with? This is the last car I'm ever going to buy. How many? It's been like every one on this show.
Wait till we get to the pickup truck.
Now let's talk about that. So, Semi, next year, first units just for Tesla. You said
they're going to produce them this year.
What?
Yes.
I missed that.
First ones are going to be for their own usage, produced in 2019.
At the Sparks Gigafactory.
Yes. And later, it's going to be for customers.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So we're
going
to see autonomous Tesla trains of Ys in semis coming from the Gigafactory in Nevada. I'd like to get a drone shot of like the first convoy of autonomous Tesla semis leaving the factory with
it's interesting.
Buttload of Ys.
There's a nice used bookstore near me and they have videos, and I just picked up a copy of iRobot because I wanted to see just that. Because there's a scene where they have these trucks that have almost like nothing in the front of them driving on a highway and somebody had like usurped them to try and run some dude off the road and kill him.
You had to bring that up.
I know. But so that's Hollywood.
Deepak really jumped in there, I thought fairly aggressively, and said, and just so you know, the first units are going to be for our own usage. And what I read into that is like, we need a lot of those. So all those Walmart and all those people, the first 1,000 of those are ours. They're ours. Can't have them.
Which makes sense because then they can, you know, pick up all the flaws and all the problems because that's how Tesla does it. They experiment on the first to take delivery.
There's been a lot of pictures recently of the red Tesla Semi that's sort of the prototype running around. It looks delicious. Our pickup truck may be unveiled this summer, and it's going to be something quite unique. We've heard this before. It's sort of the Blade Runner thing. I can't wait to see that thing. It's very, very exciting.
I'm so anxious about that.
I'm very scared about what it's going to look like.
Do you know what that means? Buy Rivian stock. Buy Bollinger stock.
One word?
Yeah.
Supercharging.
Well, I mean, those guys have the opportunity.
So for those of you that don't know, we're waiting for the Tesla Semi, but this first version sounds like it's another thing that like Elon is going to make this crazy. It's going to be futuristic. It's going to have bells and whistles that most people are not going to want. So even he's concerned, I'm making this for me. I think it's cool for a subset of people. And we've talked about before, we're a bit concerned that it'll be so weird that a lot of traditional truck owners are going to go, I really wanted a high torque, long-range electric vehicle, and you gave me something from Star Wars.
So in one sentence, I made a mistake with the X. I made the Fabergé egg. I probably shouldn't have made that vehicle. And then the next breath, I'm going to make a very unique truck.
I'm making two Fabergé eggs.
I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Like, is that what we're hearing?
Yeah, I think I think there's some anxiety that they really have. He's excited about it. I do think it's not a problem. I think that they'll sell trillions of them. It may not sell as much as sort of the F-150 version of the one that will come, but they'll sell trillions. Let's go on. JP Morgan asked this question. China Gigafactory, money, capital. So here's a couple of things that they said. They got a 50-year lease. The CapEx that they're going to need is going to come from local banks. They're getting fantastic rates. They believe, this is great television, that they only need about $500 million to get to 3,000 cars a week. This is a ballpark figure, which is really not very much money. And for these big Chinese banks, which are the biggest banks in the world now, this is no money. And as I said, they're going to get really good rates. And Tesla is going to be the first wholly owned car manufacturer in China.
Period.
The end.
Drop the mic.
Wholly owned. So the not Ford, not GM, not Toyota, not anybody. Tesla is going to be in China, and Tesla is going to be owned by Tesla. Yes, they're going to have some deals with China, but it's going to be owned by China. And he did a lot of sucking up to China. Yes. Thank you, China. Love you, China. Great engineers in China.
China big.
Thank you letting us come to China, China. And this is what Apple does this and everybody does this because China is such a huge market. Everybody is kissing China's buttocks.
They got to make a $35,000 car in China, right?
Yeah, he said that it was very important in China. Not just for the Chinese market, but for Vietnam, for India. I mean, like, think about these countries where 35 grand is like a freaking Bentley. Yeah.
Can you imagine autonomous driving in Vietnam?
That's going to have some serious AI.
only if it's scooters.
Holy mackerel.
I've driven I've been in a car in Kenya, in Nairobi, and it's the same thing. I don't know how these guys do it. Their AI is better than mine. Gene Munster. Then asked this question, Waymo and others, autonomy. Waymo is valued at $175 billion. What does Elon do? A guttural.
He's like, imagine what I would be worth if my company was actually valued at something like this. So, but the difference is, let's be completely honest with you, Elon's making big, expensive items.
Yeah.
Waymo is making services, right? Services are what they do, right? They're like making hardware, but as a service to other car companies, right? Like their model of potentiality is vastly different, and their CapEx needs are probably much, much lower.
But I agree with Elon. It's all engineering. It's a joke. It's made up. Waymo, stock price and its potential is based on if they get it right, if they're the first, if they're the best, and every single car in the world gets their technology, they're a multi-billion dollar, $175 billion company, but it's all based on...
I mean, even if, was it Chrysler who made the Pacifica van, who's their Waymo vehicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's their capacity to make those vans? I mean, like, that's a limited.
I got a better question for you.
So,
How many of those vans are they going to sell? Yeah,
well, they don't. I don't know that their plan is to sell them. I think their plan is to just operate them like an autonomous taxi service.
Oh, you're saying the Pacifica 4 Waymo.
Right. Sorry, so, like, they have a limited supply of that vehicle. And their systems are designed for a specific vehicle.
Yeah, but they can make cars everywhere. Dude, they got shuttered factories all over the place. I mean, like, Chrysler can ramp production up if they have to, right?
But then the question is, what is going to be the power source for all of the vehicles that Waymo theoretically could put on the road? If it's going to be electricity, now they're going to run into the same problem everyone else has run into who doesn't have a gigafactory.
Well, but if they have a partner, okay, Chrysler has a partner like Waymo, and Waymo can go to Panasonic and be like, we'd like some giga in technology ourselves. We have $175 billion valuation. We've got a whole lot of Google money sitting in the background.
How long until you get all that stuff rolling?
But take a step back.
Okay.
Elon's building a gigafactory in less than a year with batteries, right? It's all part of that in China, right? They're going to have to build a line for batteries, multiple lines for batteries, and multiple lines for building cars at the same time in less than a year, right? And who's doing that with them? Who's the partner?
Panasonic.
Thank you very much.
Let's go on. Waymo is not worth $175 billion. Okay, how important is autonomy to Tesla? And he answered this way. First of all, Tesla's most important job is to accelerate sustainability. It's an existential crisis. If we don't do this, the world is over. That's the most important thing. Having said that, let me say this. The second most important thing is autonomy.
Yeah,
to save lives. So autonomy is huge, huge, huge. We can save lives and
reduce injuries.
And so this Gene Munster asked, well, how do you compete with somebody like Waymo? And he's like, technically, we feel very confident. And here's our biggest advantage. Right now, we have 300 vehicles that are on the road.
300,000.
300,000 vehicles. 300,000 vehicles with 360-degree cameras that are connected, that are learning all the time. We have a massive fleet. We have 20 times more input coming in than anybody else. In the next 18 months, we will have 1 million vehicles. I'm just not sure how anybody can compete with that.
And whether or not you're driving a car with enhanced autopilot, that's turned on, activated, full self-driving. Whether you click that stock or not, that car is learning. That car is working through those algorithms, whether you want it to or not.
He also mentioned the bug report system, so they have live feedback. So I encourage everybody to use it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Oppenheimer asked a question, but it was mostly about China and market size. And again, they said, you know, we're going to do 500,000 to 800,000 Model 3s, and they get faster all the time. And this is an important thing. Their line gets better all the time. They improve it all the time. And they're saying, like, week over week, we're seeing improvements. And this is perhaps why you can drop your employees by 7% and still continue to improve production.
Right. That was Jerome said that.
And then...
one guy from UBS asked if the mid-range 3 demand is weakening, and that's why they're dropping employees. And that's when Elon was talking about the seasonality of car sales, January, February, typically low. Also, they lost the tax credits come January. So that's going to affect U.S. sales, but why they're focusing on Europe and China.
Yeah,
and Europe they're waiting for mid to late March for sales to pop back up.
I cannot wait for 18 months after the tax thing ends. And it's just about selling cars.
Oh, me too.
You know two and a half years from now?
Whatever it is. Like, no, just so year, where it becomes, I guess that is. 18 months after is about 2.5 years from today because it's January.
I thought the tax credits would be gone by the end of this year.
No, they finish at the end of this year, but he's saying 18 months after they finish.
Yeah. They finish at the end of this year. They go to 1,800 in the second 6 month period of this year.
And then they go away
at the end of 2019 completely.
It's just
why is this 18 months?
It's another 18 months. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I can't wait for another 18 months after it ends. So 12 months, whatever it is, after it ends, so we can stop talking about. So then we'll know.
Let's just stop talking about this.
We'll know whether or not people want cars without the incentives.
Down.
Now, they're working very, very hard, the advocacy group, to try to get the incentive to return. Mm-hmm. Maybe it should. Maybe it should. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Is it better for them to stand on their own?
Yes.
Maybe
it's better that they return for the simple reason is that Elon even said in the call, I think it's coming up, that the difference between an ICE car of a certain level and a pure EV car of a certain level is about $7,000. Mm-hmm. The difference you're going to pay mm-hmm. to have that electric battery as opposed to a gas tank and everything else that goes with mm-hmm. it. So until that evens out, I think we should have the full subsidy so that it evens the playing field.
Well, but it's never going to even out because what's going to happen is the ICE cars are going to go away and there's going to be nothing to even with. Right?
Which is good.
Like that's never going to happen, right? We've talked about that many times. It feels like we're at a point where that there's just going to be a point where ICE cars just don't – they're not competitive.
Yes.
Gas stations aren't existing.
Well, okay. So I don't
but
know how long
gonna
until –
it's never going to be a price issue though, right? That's what I'm saying is like they're never going to like – their ICE car engines aren't going to all of a sudden increase so much in cost and the cost of the batteries and power drives are not going to go down so much. I think at this point they're never going to meet because one of them is going to go away. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. That's time.
Okay, we're getting close.
It's like 10 years before ICE cars are going to really start to falter. But I think it may be 2 years or maybe 3 years until EVs and ICE cars reach parity so that for the same car, you'll pay either $30,000 here for an ICE car or $30,000 here for an EV, and they're going to be equivalent cars.
And the selling point, though, and here's the problem.
How would you
sell an ICE car if they...
You sell it because...
Oh, there's plenty of people who in places, you know, where they do coal, they coal them. You know, the coaling, rolling coal. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people who don't want anything to do with an electric car.
Even if they're the same price, there is still a subset of people like, I can go to the gas station, I can fill up in 5 minutes.
Right.
How long does it take to fill that car up? It takes too long.
I don't want no stinking electric car.
Okay.
I think it's the infrastructure for charging and the infrastructure for long distance. Like, it's a pain to have to stop for 40 minutes to charge a car.
Yes.
Geeks and idiots like us will do it. But if you want to get somewhere fast, 400 miles, a gas car is still better. It'll get better with version 3. And 90%, 95% of the time, it's better because I charge at home and I never go to the gas station. But on long distance trips, a subset of people are like, I don't want to deal with that.
Okay.
Deutsche Bank.
Wow.
Wow. That was almost bad.
Wow.
Was that a Freudian?
Will we see he said short range Model 3. And Elon said, shut up. No. It's a standard range, not short. Range. It's way longer than anybody else. Middle of the year is my best guess. We're working hard to reduce costs. We're much smarter about the way we spend money. This year, we hope to get to the 25% gross margin for the standard range. And
that's bold.
I think that's super bold. They're at 5%, 6%
combined.
So they think, and he said, and he definitely said, look, I'm just guessing here. I think this year we can do the standard range for 35,000 and have a gross margin of 25%. If they can do that, wow.
This is why Shanghai Gigafactory is so critical, because what they're doing is they're dropping the price of the 3 so they can sell it in China despite the tariffs, despite the cost of floating it across the Pacific Ocean, and despite the delay in getting it to the customer. They're taking that on the, right. What do they call that? Taking it on the nose?
Yeah. At 400,000 cars, if they sold 400,000 cars for $35,000 at a 25% profit margin, that's $3.5 billion in profit.
That will be nice.
That will get it done. That's what they have in the bank right
then
now.
Then they can like build out on the rest of the Gigafactory, well, at least part of the Gigafactory, so they can build up more batteries, because we're going to be talking about stationary storage and how big a big deal that is.
I like a stationary store. They have the cards and you can buy gifts,
yes,
like mugs
a different
and stuff.
Stationary storage.
Yeah. Stationary stores.
Like papyrus.
Yeah. That's not.
Those are cool places.
So he said this, and that's kind of a weird thing. Like, so the inhibitor to Model 3 sales is the cost. Everybody wants one, but they want a lower cost. Well, that's sort of, okay, yeah, that's true. Everybody wants a high-end Jaguar, but it's too expensive.
No, I was going to say, I want an Austin Martin or a Lamborghini. Yeah,
I'd like $1 million house for $10,000. Right. So it's a silly little argument.
But it is and it isn't, because it's from the very, very beginning of the Model 3, it's what he's talked about. He set this expectation in people's minds.
Right.
He even said $35,000 plus the federal tax incentive. This car is going to be super cheap. No one's getting that car ever.
And I just
ever.
Had that discussion with somebody, 4 days ago, and he says, I'm kind of pissed at Tesla. And I was like, okay, tell me. And he says, because I was expecting a sub $30,000 car that was going to be really nice and cool and everything. And I said, well, you're not going to pay a lot for service. You're not going to pay a lot for fuel. So
you just weren't going to pay a lot. You weren't going to pay a lot for service, and you weren't going to pay a lot for fuel.
But the
anyways.
Reality is the reality, and Elon's right. world is Elon's world.
I get
world.
That the reality is the reality, and but my point is that's what he set this up for. That's the problem. Like he overpromised and massively underdelivered,
well,
and that's problematic. Dude, if you go to the Model 3 Owners Club Facebook page and join that group,
yes,
they are. Today, there was a guy that posted, like, I'm upset about this. Like, I'm not going to get the federal things. I was told this. I'm really disappointed. I've had my money invested in Tesla for 2.5 years now, waiting for this $35,000 car. Still not coming. Still not coming. And he was just getting ripped back. It was like, I don't know, 50-50 people protecting him, people ripping into him for complaining about it. It's a valid complaint. Right. It may not be reality anymore, but let's not say that it's not a valid complaint.
You know who's rolling their eyes at this argument? Kimball.
Okay.
Because he had to, you know, tell his brother that the bus leaves at 7:30, not 8, to just get his ass there in time.
Okay.
New Market Research asked this question, which was basically... the CapEx to produce cars in China is going to be about 50%, and he said maybe a quarter of what it took to get cars made in the US. And what they're saying by that, they've learned how to build factories, they've learned how to build batteries, and so instead of having to put in $5 billion into a gigafactory to make lots of cars, they're going to just put in $500 million and be able to make 3,000 a week. That's pretty cool.
Rubber hits the road, recession hits, Tesla's hit hard. They can make cars in China for a quarter of what they can make them in Fremont. Do we start getting cars here?
This way?
You think that, yes, like it's a contingency
like
plan?
Back the other way.
Yeah.
Imported Chinese Model 3s?
Maybe. As long depends as on how big the tariff is on imported Chinese goods.
Depends who's in power.
Yeah.
Goldman Sachs has this, it was all about China and Europe again, China and Europe again. And they're basically saying the same thing.
They
demand,
were asking
demand,
about like how big
how
are
many?
The orders?
Yeah,
how
many are you going to have?
Substantial. And they said something like they had 20,000 orders in Europe already and 1,000 to whatever, under 10,000 orders in China. But they said that demand is not a problem. And I would expect that. I've seen a lot on the Twitter feed about Europeans and especially Britons who want right-hand drive cars, they're just like dying. In fact, I have, I don't know if I can show this,
no,
but
you
can. I can.
No, you cannot.
This is a ship.
Ooh, it's a boat. You can't see it. It's a boat.
About, I think it was 2,000 or 4,000.
Let's try this.
2,000 or 4,000 Model 3s heading for Denmark, Glovis.
Nice.
And these guys are
Denmark
tracking
Switzerland?
This trip.
That was gripping.
This ship, I have pictures of it being loaded. I actually tweeted them out. But it's currently, let's see, four. Now, UTC, this the estimated time of arrival.
Wow, it's getting worse.
It's like 4 a.m. on February 3rd, local time.
My birthday.
They're coming.
Woo-woo. That's Zeebrugge in Belgium. That's where it's going. This ship full of Model 3s.
This is the next part where they talk about, they think phase one of Gigafactory China, which will be 10% of the size it'll be. We already talked about that. This is big. This is huge. This is large. This is enormous. This is grand. Bernstein said, how are you going to get, what's the cost of the car? Is it the battery pack or is it the powertrain? And basically they said, it's sort of both of those together. So this was that $7,000 that you're talking about. Right now, there's a $7,000 differential between a car and an ICE car, an EV car and an ICE car equivalent. But they think they're going to be able to get that down to about $4,000 soon.
And that was at the beginning of the letter. And in the letter that Elon sent when he was laying people off, is that the whole goal is to make EVs equivalent to ICE cars, mm-hmm. price-wise.
And then he asked the question, well, what's more important to you? You always talk about margins, but if you can keep the same amount of cash flow, what's more important, volume or margin? And he's like, I think volume's the more important thing. In the end, what's most important is that we have the cash flow to pay our debts
right.
and to do our next things. So Macquarie asked this, what is the cost of the battery right now? It's interesting because they used to brag about this a year or two ago. We're down to $150 per kilowatt hour. We're down to $120. And now they're like, we're not telling you.
It's proprietary.
What changed?
It's proprietary.
But they it changed.
They must have reached
a plateau. It's now proprietary.
I think they
probably. We don't tell you.
They reached a plateau, and or they have a lot more people gearing up battery production.
Well,
LG and Samsung.
And you also have Panasonic making deals with other companies, right? Other transportation companies. So it makes kind of sense for that, for him to say that to protect Panasonic. Because Panasonic could be like, oh, maybe we made Tesla too good of a deal in the long run. I don't want to make that same deal with the rest of these guys. And Elon for sure doesn't want them to make those deals with the rest of them. So keep it quiet and Panasonic can make any deal it wants.
Or the inverse. Panasonic makes a deal with Tesla, and they're like, I don't know, these guys are new on the block, and their CEO is smoking dope on video, so maybe we should jack the price up because of the risk.
I liked my story better.
Yeah. And if it's, Toyota doesn't seem to be interested, but maybe Volkswagen, we're going to cut them a huge deal because they're worth a ton of money.
Wow, he did it again.
He did. It's upsetting. Wolf Research asked, when is leasing coming to the Model 3?
That was a great question.
And basically they said, look, the fact is we make less money in the short term with leasing.
Right.
So we're not running out to do that, but it'll probably occur sometime this year.
Late 2019.
I found this interesting. In North America, the percent of S's and X's that are leased is 20%. I don't know what that is for other cars, but I thought it would be much harder. I thought most cars, at least in this country.
Well, I mean, I think people look at these cars as like a big time, like long term thing. That's how you get your money back, right? Is you pay
them,
you keep it for a long time. You don't pay for gas over a long amount of time. And the car sort of seems to make a little bit more fiscal sense. But what I will say about the Model 3 is that there's a possibility if they open leasing for that, that corporations would buy huge fleets of them, right? Because it's a more inexpensive car, easier to buy a lot of them. So if you had like, I don't know, you were Sunrun and you had a bunch of small economical smart cars running around. Why would you not want those to be Model 3s, right? Because they're inexpensive. They're inexpensive to maintain. You have less cost, overall fleet costs. So I think the Model 3 is primed at some point to be a gigantic fleet car as well at the cheap, cheap base price.
I just don't understand, and maybe it's my ignorance, why doesn't a company that makes money from leasing jump in on this and say, hey, Tesla, we'll take all these leases.
Well, I mean, they probably look at Tesla as being like sort of capacity limited, right? Like,
I thought there was a leasing company we reported on a couple of months back that went out of business because they couldn't handle the leasing. I think that was Tesla's in a European country. I don't think it was in the U.S. or maybe it was the East Coast, which is like another country.
Maybe the margins are just too small, right?
Like I don't know.
On the what you can get.
It seems like a guaranteed success because people want them. In this country, people lease cars so they can write them off in their businesses. And it seems like it would be another reason to sell, I don't know, another ton of Teslas.
No. Again. No.
He just keeps doing it over and over and over.
We're almost done here. Baird asked a mumbling question, which was four parts and ridiculous, but in the end...
four parts, and then he only asked three parts.
Yeah, and then basically the summary of this was like battery storage is going to be huge, like just absolutely massive. We get that. And the recession is coming. How are you going to deal with it? And he's like, I think we're going to be fine. We can do this.
I thought it was cool. They said that the battery, stationary storage, battery business is going to grow at 2x the growth of Tesla vehicles.
And we've talked about this here before. Like the car is great and big and everything, but it's Tesla Energy that's going to be the
And not only, where is it? It feels like news of that stuff has kind of started to slow down.
Well, he said, actually said in here, like we were ramping and we're going big, and then we sold all these cars, and we had to take all of that lithium and all of that and put it into cars, but we're going to catch up.
Well, he said that their profitability is growing. The margin of their profitability for stationary storage is growing as well. And honestly, I think that's, I'll say it again, we've said it before, it's the biggest part of Tesla's future. But he got in a question about SpaceX, which
I
just
was weird.
I got so jazzed. And Elon said that he has two enormous programs which would typically starve any large company. And that's what they're like, I guess they're having an existential crisis at SpaceX right now. And that is for Starship and Starlink. Starship, the big, ginormous Raptor-powered rocket that's going to take us to Shanghai in 20 minutes.
Silly.
And Starlink, which are the 4,000-some-odd satellites that are going to connect the entire globe with give the people who do this flash trading an advantage. And they are typically the ones who are going to pay the most for that service.
I'm so torn about this because I just recently went camping in the desert, no service for 4 days. if this thing exists, how do I not have it?
Because
I can never tune out.
You're going to need like a bigger than a laptop. Like my laptop stack like 4 or 5 of them. You're going to need a box that's a repeater mm-hmm. to receive the signal yeah. from Starlink mm-hmm. to hook up to it.
Yeah, but those repeaters are going to be everywhere.
I got a gigantic truck with a tent on top yeah. of it. Your little box will fit nicely right up there, no problem.
Well, then you'll have to pay 10 yeah. grand for the box.
Well, then there were the closing remarks, and the closing remarks were Deepak, who is the CFO, who'd retired, who came back, who seems like an adult in the room, is retiring again. He's getting replaced by this guy named Zach somebody.
Kirkhorn.
Who seems like also an adult in the room, very smart, and he's taking over. But it seems like Deepak is going to be around and mentor. And so normally you'd freak out about this, but they did a good job of selling this. This is just a guy that's at the end of his career and he wants to take a little time.
Yeah, I mean, he got them to a point where they have 2 quarters in a row profitability. They got groundbroken in Shanghai, which is going to help them. He talked about the CapEx aspects of all of that stuff. They seem like they're in a stable enough place to make it for this to be a good time for the transition of a CFO, in my opinion. And well, I am, you know, highly opinionated about CFOs.
So at end of the conference call, I was going to just set this up. At the end of the conference call, the after hours price for Tesla was $308.77, up 3.8% or $11.31. So $308.77. Then they announced Deepak's departure, and we can ask, hey Google, what's the price of Tesla stock?
Tesla is trading at $294 per share in after hours trading, down 4.78% from closing.
So that's a drop of over 7%, almost 8%.
But intraday trading, it's about flat, right? Like from the opening of the day to where we are after hours, about flat.
I want to show you a problem with AI. Let's just do this again. Michael, let's go to here and let's watch this. Okay, Tesla, maybe. I mean, hey, Google, what is Tesla's stock price today?
Watch.
Tesla is trading at $294 a share after hours, down 4.78% from closing.
Why does it say $308.77?
Because that was the closing price.
Thank you. No, well, they just showed the price.
Oh, that's the closing price, and then it's down from that.
Oh,
it's because it's after hours.
I was going to make fun of Google that they can't even make their display.
Now Google would like to make fun of you.
Yeah.
Mel, you're just a fat,
hey,
hot
Google.
Airbag.
How handsome is Mel Herbert?
Who?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help with that yet.
Yeah.
Nobody's
I don't know a stylist and a hairstylist.
Nobody can help with that.
And a makeup artist.
All right, let's finish the show off. It's been going a long time.
Oh, we have lots of things to talk about.
No, we don't. It's late. We've got some other things to do. I do want to do one. I personally want to do one thing. Uh-oh. And I want to say that the S and the X, they dropped the 75 kilowatt hour battery. Now you can only get 100, but now they've just came out in the last few days saying we're dropping the cost of long-range versions by doing a software-limited version. They're dropping S and X by $8,000. They haven't said exactly how many kilowatts, but the new versions will be about, what did I say, $7,000 or $8,000 less, and their range for the S will be 310. Remember that the S at the high end is 335 right now, so about 25 miles less. And for the X, the shorter range X is now going to be 270 miles, and the current long-range version of the X is 295, so about another 25 miles
$8,000.
It's a premium. A premium.
Okay, Mel, range monkey that you are.
Yes.
25 miles, you pay $8,000?
No. That's a little, I can't remember the numbers before, but that is a gigantic premium. I don't know what game they are playing here. But they will do what they've done before in the past. You'll buy the cheaper one, and then at some point they'll say, we can unlock you another 25 miles. But if they said for $8,000, they're like, I don't think so.
Keep it locked up, yo.
Yeah, you give me 50 or 100 miles, we'll talk.
But that's all they're putting. That's the only range for
now.
It is 25 miles.
For now.
What are you talking about?
I'm so like saying 6 months from now, they're like, okay, we'll unlock it for 4,000.
Oh, I see. But you're not saying they're going to be able to unlock more range.
No, I don't think they're putting 120. Right. They'll just like drop that price because that's an outrageous price. I don't get it.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Do we have any letters this week?
No, I'm going to do letters on the tweener because I screwed up and didn't get the letters put in the thing. Does anybody else want to do a story? You both get one story each before we finish, and then we got to do supercharging.
I think very, very, very important story, even more so than the earnings call.
Oh, my gosh.
Is a story from Bloomberg.com. Electric cars are cleaner, even when powered by coal.
What?
Yeah. Electric cars are far better for the environment than traditional gasoline models, and that benefit will grow as power generation shifts away from coal. Elon has said this lots, time and time again, but they went ahead and did some calculations, and they said that even in a place like West Virginia, where 90% of the power comes from coal, more or less, that electric cars are cheap, are cleaner than gasoline-powered cars.
I mean, so, but I'm assuming when they're talking about this, they're factoring in the fact that it's in using the electric car in West Virginia.
Yes.
On West Virginian coal, which means that there's very little transportation of the fuel to the final destination of where the fuel is burned, right? So that's a factor. When you're talking about crude oil, well, I'm just giving you like the, I'm trying to give the people the full picture of it, yeah. Right? There's less transportation costs and usage as it pertains to that. We know coal can be efficiently burned, not as efficiently enough, but it can right. be efficiently burned. And so, yeah, that makes sense. And then you don't have tailpipe emissions, right? So it makes
right.
sense.
They even did the calculations in Britain, which has still a fair amount of coal production,
yeah.
and China, which relies on a large amount of coal for its electricity right, generation.
But it's news that you don't really want to hear. Yes, okay, it's cleaner. It's not clean enough, right? Germany just announced they're closing every single one of their coal-fired power plants.
But it is interesting. If you're an environmentalist in West Virginia, you're like, well, should I just buy a gas car or an EV that's going to be going on coal? The answer here is coal. Now, there's been other ones like this, and it's very complicated. And they're like, depending on where you live and which car you drive, whether you drive a Prius that gets 50 or 60 miles, it's not quite so simple. So there mm-hmm. are some websites that you can go on. But because the Model 3 is such an efficient car, it tends to win in almost every energy circumstance, whether it's coal, whether it's renewables. Mm-hmm. It's the cleanest way to drive around. And as Elon says, if you've got an electric car,
yeah.
as your grid gets cleaner, your car magically gets right. cleaner.
But it also potentially could get more expensive to charge that car, right? And if in West Virginia, 5 years from now, you bought an electric car, the coal plants are closing, chances are the transformation to natural gas or whatever the next, if it's not renewable, if it's a solar thing, that could be get more expensive to charge your car, potentially.
In almost all places in the country, except for a few in the Midwest and stuff, electricity is generally a half to a third the gas price. Right. So you win in almost every state here in the United States. I want to hear about superchargers. I want you to make it big. I want you to make it huge because there are so many cars coming. In 18 months, there will be over 1 million Model 3s on the road, according to the earnings call. I want to hear, therefore, let me do some calculations, that there is an F-ton of new superchargers coming, Roberto.
Open since we last did our show January 10th.
Make it happen.
So 20 days.
Yes, 20 days.
We have 9 new superchargers.
That's almost a half a supercharger a day.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's pretty good.
No, it's not.
All right. It's 96 stalls.
Half a day.
100 stalls, 20 days.
I mean, come on. That's
where?
What
tell
is
me
that?
About them.
5, 10, I can't enough. Do math.
Most
5
of them,
stalls a
most
day.
Of them are in the foreign lands.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm still waiting for the one in Santa Monica. I visited it like probably 4 or 5 times.
Go it's on. I'm going to just complain about this.
Of course
you are. So where are these and where are they? Go.
Superchargers are in Yancheng, China.
Yes.
Mashpee, Massachusetts by the president. Changsha, China, Paulsboro, New Jersey, San Diego,
yay,
Dover, Delaware, I haven't been there yet, Suzhou, China, and that was it.
So let me just tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Much like the cars, much like autonomy, when Elon says, or Tesla has on their website, all of the stuff that's coming with supercharging, take it with a salt that is grainy. Because if you went onto the website last year, there was a, let's call it, it's not an F-ton, it's an S-ton of new superchargers coming to our local area, coming up the coast, coming around San Francisco, in San Francisco, north of San Francisco, throughout California. And of those that are coming in 2018, almost none of them occurred. Now, it could be because version 3 of the superchargers coming and they're waiting, but permits haven't been pulled. They are so far behind what they said they would be doing with supercharging network. It's a problem, I got to tell you. Supercharging is the key. You better hurry up.
Building cars, been doing a lot of that. Been trying to get some more service centers up.
Power walls.
I'm uninterested in your
Well, I understand that, but
excuses.
All right. Well, like, again, how many times have you used a freaking supercharger this year?
A lot.
And how many times have you waited?
This time, actually, I waited none. But let me just say that same thing again. I went to the supercharger on the way back from Santa Cruz. It was full except for one spot. I plug in there, and the 120 kilowatts that I'm supposed to get, what did I get?
40.
About 25, baby. Yeah. Yeah.
And how? What is that per hour?
That was like on the X, like 150 miles an hour.
And how long did you have to sit there?
Well, the other person unplugged after a while, and it came up pretty fast. So I was there for about 40 minutes to get about 150 miles.
You hear this? Can you hear it? Can you hear it going?
I'm just saying, for average Joe and Joette out there, this is a problem. Like, really, I'm going to add an extra hour to my drive to San Francisco?
Sometimes we refer to this as first world problems, but this is actually a few steps higher than that.
I mean, it's an
This is like an ethereal problem.
Supercharging is the key. It's got to be ubiquitous. It's got to be everywhere. It's got to be fast.
Well, how's this?
Of course we get it.
What do you mean we don't get it? I worked Friday until like 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Did I say I was exhausted?
Were you exhausted?
I was exhausted.
Were you tired?
And I had 40 miles on my car. Uh-huh. I drove to the Thousand Oaks Supercharger.
Lovely Supercharger.
Like 2:20 in the morning.
Yes.
And did I say I was exhausted?
How tired were you?
I was freaking exhausted. Yes. And I had to plug in. Were there any other cars plugged in?
No, there were not.
Not a single car. And what was my speed?
90 kilometers.
I'm not going to complain about it. That's all I'm going to say. It was under 100.
And
it was under 90.
You got a little nap.
Why was it so slow when there was nobody there and it's the middle of the night? There's something wrong with the supercharger.
I failed to say that there is an Ontario supercharger.
Oh, excellent.
And another one in Massachusetts. There's four that's under construction, five in the permit phase. And how about what's coming up for SpaceX?
A big rockety, rockety rock.
Well,
rockety, rockety rock.
They're sending the that spaceship, the Sparrow, to the moon.
To the moon, Sparrow.
To the moon, Alice.
That's going on the Tuesday, the 19th of February.
From
right out here, Space Launch Complex 40. That's it.
Is it Lompoc?
It's the Air Force Base at Cape Canaveral.
Okay, yeah, so SLC's it's over on the other coasties.
And they're sending the uncrewed Dragon capsule to the space station on February 23rd. Just 4 days later, that's going to be a huge thing. Saw the pictures of the big arm come across from the freshly painted.
Also on the Cape.
That also on the Cape. That's at Kennedy Space Center. And then Falcon Heavy.
It's not any reason.
March 7th.
March 7th, Falcon Heavy.
Falcon Heavy, the second one.
Woo!
It's going to carry
out. And they're going to try and land all three of them.
That's right. Mr. Stevens, the fairing catching boat. It's on its way to Florida right now.
Did you see the picture of Mr. Stevens? It's their secret picture. It almost caught the last one.
Yes.
Just missed it.
And they've rigged it so they can catch both fairings. They have two sets of nets that they somehow catch one, drop it, and then put the other net up and catch that
one. And on the way back, they pick up some shrimp. A few pounds of shrimp, fry them up, have a little fry.
They could have a ton of shrimp.
They could have an F-ton.
That sounds wonderful.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, before we're finished, we're done here.
We are?
Should we talk about these gifts?
Talk about the gifts. Go, talk about the gifts.
So Mark at RPM Tesla, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Gave us our pedals, right? Our performance pedals.
I
like them. They fit both the 3 and the S.
Mm-hmm.
And the X, but he's not
interested. They're shiny, and I can actually see my pedals.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's huge.
I can see them. It feels better.
Mm-hmm.
My feet maybe don't slip off them as much.
Mm-hmm.
I give them 5 out of 5.
Mm.
Mark showed me this. It's a RPM. Oh, there you go.
Here we go.
It's for the Model 3. Mm-hmm. It's lights for the back of your Model 3. You'll notice that the Model 3 does not have the nice footwell lights as the S in
Oddly
the back.
Oddly enough, I've never been back there, so I had no idea.
Right, so like you drop your cell phone and you're like fishing around and looking kind of skanky with your hands all over the floor. So these are for you. Gave me these for you. And so these are like plug into the USB port, and they have little lights, and you can change the color of the lights.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm curious for you to check them out
and let me know.
How they are.
I use those rear ports to charge things. I charge my Apple Watch, because I'm just not smart enough to charge it at home, so I charge it while I'm driving, and I charge other things.
Good for you, because my Apple Watch is dead.
So, dead. RPM Tesla.
RPM Tesla.
Gracias.
And the other thing is, he saw that you showed pictures of your center console being covered in nice black.
Freaking love that
thing. And he said, what are you doing for your door switches?
I wasn't doing anything.
And so he sent you this.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me show you.
It's a whole set of cutouts. It's like a 3M film that you would use on the car to wrap the car. Mm-hmm. And these are switch covers, so you don't have scratches and nastiness on
them. It looks like
a
little smiley face.
Yeah, like a big mustache there. Uh-huh. And then he gave me one other goodie.
Whoa,
and this is why I'm asking here. This is for you.
Oh,
Tom.
Thank you very much.
This is why I asked about the letters. I'm saying that we're going to randomly pick mm-hmm. one of the letter senders and announce it on the tweener, and we'll send you a set of these really nice valve stem covers. I like these a lot.
I have those on my car as well.
Yeah, me too.
I'm very much loving
them. They are
that.
Smart.
I feel like I'm on all aftermarketed.
That's compliments RPM of Tesla. Mark at rpmtesla.com.
Thank you, RPM Tesla.
Now, before we finish, we've got one more thing to do.
What is the one more thing?
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's always one more thing. It's like an Apple show event situation.
So, it turns out that Robert brought us this because it's Tom's birthday this weekend.
Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday. Tom is turning
107.
Half a century old.
He's moving into the
You're
sixth
not
decade. Of life.
No, I'm not 107. I so, just look 107.
What is this? What have we got here?
We have mezcal. Oh. Artisanal mezcal.
Wow.
So we need to give one of these to Thomas.
Yes.
Here we go.
Oh, here. It's not a hat.
In bowls?
It's a.
There's a little bowl holder.
A bowl holder.
Very nice.
Yeah. So you can have your.
What is this made out of, you think?
This
gourd?
Is called jicara.
Oh, jicara.
It was used by the early inhabitants of Mexico, a container to serve and drink mezcal. The jicara is made by hand from the bark shell of the fruit of the moro. It's also called a tecomate.
Nice.
Tecomate.
Thank you very much.
And it's important because it helps you to smell the mezcal, all the flavors.
I'm very excited.
So here we go.
Thomas, here we go. A little bit of this. Fruit of the vine.
Wow.
Is that a lot?
No.
That's about a shot and a half.
I got autopilot.
I'll keep that little one. I'm not walking home.
I got autopilot.
Me too.
I walk home.
If only autopilot took away the smell of alcohol on your breath.
To you, gentlemen, never
salute.
Not above you or below you, but beside you.
Aye.
And to Tesla Nation.
Tesla Nation.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Hey,
thank you for
happy
celebrating
birthday, Thomas.
Our birthday.
The world's a better place for you being here for 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
For another 50.
Another.
Here's to 50 more.
That's 50 not more.
I don't know if I can afford to live to 50.
I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the show is Talking Tesla. There might be a daily coming.
For at least a week.
And hey, thanks for watching. Tweener coming soon.
That's cool.
Yeah.